At last, in our meditations on the seasons of the year, we reach a time when we reflect on what is actually happening around us, at least for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. The leaves are changing colour and falling from the trees. There's a chill in the air. Fruit and berries hang heavy on the branches. Baby spiders are on the move, their gossamer threads stretching across gardens and paths as they leap and are blown into the unknown. Other animals prepare for the winter they sense is coming. Squirrels secrete food and swallows gather on telephone wires. Even city dwellers notice the lights coming on earlier and the nip in the air as they dig out warmer and more waterproof coats as they venture out, just in case. There is perhaps a tension in this time of year. Conditioned by years of school attendance, we often think of autumn as a time of new beginnings. Traditionally refreshed by a summer break, we return to our everyday lives with a new spring in our step, new resolutions. This year, as last year, both working patterns and summer breaks have been disrupted. But old habits die hard, and the bright faces of children beginning a new school year strike a chord with many of us. But autumn is also a time of harvest, of the end of the growing season, when we reap the results of what we have sown and watched growing throughout the spring and summer. Churches are decorated with produce, and whether that takes the form of sheaves of corn and hotbines around the altar, or stacks of tins and cereal packets, it's good to take time to recognise the bounty of God and the need for its equitable distribution among his people. The Bible gives us mixed images of harvest. In the story of Ruth, it's the time for Boaz to show his generosity to a foreign widow who comes to glean in his barley field. But in Jesus' parables, it's also the time in which the good grain will be separated from the bad, the wheat from the weeds. Rather than seeing this solely as a judgment between good and bad people, and worrying about which category we fall into, perhaps it's more helpful to see it as a time when each individual soul will be winnowed, allowing our shortcomings and errors to be blown away in the wind and the kernel of goodness to be treasured. The combine harvester and threshing machine suggest an urgency, even a violence about this harvest and sorting. But elsewhere in the autumn world of God's creation, things happen more gently. Slowly the autumn leaves turn into glorious hues of gold, copper, scarlet and flame. But these are only revealed because the hard-working chlorophyll that has coloured those same leaves green throughout the year is fading. For months, as the tree has been drinking in the sunlight and breathing in the spring and summer air, the chlorophyll has been transforming these into nourishment to help the tree spread its roots, extend new twigs, and spread its branches wider. As the light fades, the green grows tired and disappears, leaving a last gift of splendour to feed the spirits of all who behold it. And then finally, the whole leaf lets go and falls to the ground. As autumn progresses, these leaves pile up, first to be crunched and scattered by joyful children, and then to subside into the earth, disintegrating and giving what remains of their goodness back to the soil, ready to nourish afresh the trunks and branches which they once crowned. Because although throughout the spring and summer it may be the leaves that have defined and shaped our vision and understanding of the tree, they are but a small and ultimately ephemeral part of what makes it. Once the leaves are gone, the core strength of the tree remains, and we see its true shape again rising from the earth and reaching upwards to the heavens. But not everything we lose in autumn is lost because its job is done. For the fruits and berries which have been swelling slowly through the summer, the task is just beginning. They're at their most attractive now, plump and juicy, tempting the bird or the human hedgerow forager. The tree may create its fruit to propagate itself, to ensure the survival of its species. But in doing so, how many others are helped to survive as they feast on the rich and sugary treats? So how might this time speak to us? When we think of the autumn of our days, we often imagine ourselves in old age, looking back on our lives, perhaps filled with nostalgia for the past, perhaps dwelling on regrets. And autumn can be a time of melancholy. But the turning of the seasons reminds us that it's not only at the end of our lives that we're called to let go. Each year has an autumn. Without the fall and decay of autumn leaves, how would the soil be replenished to nourish the tree in the years to come? Without the spread of berries and fruits, how would the birds sustain themselves throughout the winter and be ready to raise new young in spring? Letting go is not necessarily just an ending, but a moving on, a process of enrichment of oneself and others. Yes, what follows may seem like winter, but spring is on its way and the cycle continues. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, says Genesis. It is this perpetual recurrence of the seasons which means that autumn can speak to us, whatever stage of life we may have reached. Perhaps you are already aware of things which have played their part in your life that you're ready to let go. It's often easier to recognise the unhelpful things in our lives that we need to get rid of, the bad habits and distractions, the weeds and the chaff. But are there also autumn leaves? Are there things which in the past have been nourishing and sustaining, but which are now getting tired? Perhaps these are things which, like the leaves on a tree, seem to be an essential part of your identity. They may be material things, comforting habits, even attitudes of mind. They may seem to be glowing brightly like the autumn leaves, but is that a sign that it's time to let them go and allow them to drift away to make room for your inner self to emerge in all its strength, as the trunk and branches of the tree do when the leaves fall? And what about our autumn fruits? The tree offers its berries to any and all who seek them. What have you been forming and nurturing that you're now ready to hold out in offering to others, to spread beyond yourself? These leaves and berries may seem to be so much a part of us that it's hard to let them go. We may take such pleasure in their beauty that we find it difficult to say goodbye, and there's no reason we shouldn't acknowledge this and give thanks. After all, God made their glowing colours. But God may also be calling us to new things, and the brightness of their colours may be a sign that these things are now ready to pass from us and allow us to move forward into new seasons. However hard this letting go may be, let us remember that through all this, through the cycle of the seasons, through the fall of autumn leaves and the offering up of autumn fruits, through the harvest sortings of good from bad, the core of the tree stands firm. I am the true vine, says Jesus. His is the trunk from which our branches spring. His are the roots which take up the nutrients of the soil and transform them into life-giving sustenance for us. We drink of the fruit of his vine, which he offers to us in a year-round autumnal harvest generosity. In turn, we are called to bear fruits of our own to offer to others and ultimately back to him, the source of our fruitfulness. And so the seasons roll on. As the teacher in Ecclesiastes tells us, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Sometimes we may sense we are in sympathy with the season outside, and at others we may feel disconnected. But in each season we can perceive God working his purpose out for us as well as for his whole creation. And at the end of the day, Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And when we are grafted in him, the dormancy of winter, the new life of spring, the flowering of summer, and the letting go of autumn are all grounded in the root of our being and will all work together for our good and to his glory. Amen.